I'd like now to welcome Don Begley. He is the managing director of Santa Fe Complex, and Orlando Leibovitz, who's an artist. And there's an opening at Santa Fe Complex called Emergence, the Interaction of Science and Art. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you very much.
Now, Santa Fe Complex, we've talked about it a little bit on this show in the past, but what is this complex?
It's a place. It's a community store, if you will, for people in Santa Fe to come together, explore art, science, public policy, although that's kind of a big word. We don't like to use that word too much.
Why not? And
because it's got all those connotations of think tanks and whatnot, and we want to be much more dynamic, but there are public policy implications of the work that we can do at Santa Fe Complex. The primary concern is to bring together people from the art community, from the science community, students, and return perhaps to the College of Arts and Sciences, make these things work together once again.
Now, it's interesting because there's an art and science series going on at the Santa Fe Institute. You are bringing art and science together. What are the common threads between scientists and artists?
I think, Mary, that creativity is a common thread. I think if you, for example, analyze creativity, let's say, with theoretical physicists and with artists, certainly physicists have a different constraint on them because what they do has to match what we would call the real world, and not so with an artist. But the actual theorizing or the actual creating of an original artwork, I think, is very similar whether you're an artist or a scientist. I also think that a lot of the relationship of art and science has always been with us. It's just that it's getting more attention now. People are having a yearning for it. There's a certain amount of synthesis that takes place when you take mediums, art and science, whatever the mediums are, that normally don't go together and put them together. What you get is something unusual, something original. And I think for me, that is what has drawn me to the complex, the fact that I've spoken to Don and others about the metaphor for me, or the analogy for me, of the complex is that it's an estuary. And an estuary is where salt water and fresh water meet. And when they meet, it's a special environment, and life forms emerge in that environment that you don't have either in salt water or fresh water. And sometimes there are new life forms that emerge. And I see that very much as the thing that drew me to the complex, the fact that people are willing to come together from disparate places and just kind of act together and collaborate together and see what happens next. That's very important for me as an artist, and I think it's, personally, I feel it's very important for the world to go more in that direction.
So taking the estuary metaphor, how does that play out in your own work?
Well, I think that when you think about new life forms being created, it's not exactly the same as artistic creativity, but it is the same as an artist going into a studio, or in this case, an artist, me, coming to the complex and meeting with people who have certain technological solutions to artwork that I've been working on and have been unable to resolve. And, I go to the complex and I mention something, and five people jump up and say, yeah, that's a great idea. We can help you with that. That's a wonderful thing to be able to bring artists and scientists and people who are technologically proficient together to accomplish those kinds of things that they couldn't accomplish separately.
What's the nature of your work?
Well, it's pretty diverse. Up until a few years ago, it was mainly, I would say, imaginative, figurative work. But the work that will be shown at the complex has to do with kind of a collaging of music and painting together. I call them musical paintings. And they're simultaneously musical manuscripts and paintings. I've invented a rudimentary musical language so that you can actually read the paintings. After I finished them, I worked with a friend who's a Juilliard-trained composer, and we added a harmony and put it on CD. That we hope to have some of it playing so that people, when they step in front of the paintings, can hear the music and have kind of an interaction between the painting and the music. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, in the sense that here is an attempt anyway, whether it's successful or not, at taking two mediums, two things that normally you would not put together, and then getting something out of them that's quite different. I find a lot of that happening at the complex.
There's some really basic distinctions between art and science in the sense of their goals. I mean, for science, you're looking for factual physical truth, and in art, there is an emotional and spiritual and heart component that doesn't exist in science, and in fact, you kind of have to excise out of science. Is that not true?
Well, it's partially true. It's true that science, let's again talk about physics, which I've been doing some reading about, has time constraints of what might be, has constraints of what might be called the real world. And unlike an artist who can be inspired and call something spiritual, if a physicist is describing, in theory, the behavior of an electron, it has to be borne out experimentally, which is different. On the other hand, I think you would get many scientists to agree that Einstein was as much an artist as he was a theoretical physicist. I think that he had a style, which was his way of thinking. And I think that, in my opinion, you could find a number of other scientists in the various fields who, by themselves or other scientists, would consider what they're doing to be as much an art form as a scientific form. That's a big thing right now that's happening, to see whether that what I said is really possible or not. That there is a controversy over that, but I think you will find people who agree that there is a synthesis there.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, I think, because it seems that you can be emotionally immature, spiritually non-existent, and utterly heartless, and still be an excellent scientist.
Well, I don't know. You might be able to say the same thing about being an artist, you know.
Not really.
Well, Hitler painted landscapes, so...
Yeah, but nobody says he was a good artist or that his landscapes were good.
Well, you just introduced the word good.
Well, yeah. That's what
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, you can be a good scientist, and a lot of scientists peak very young, and yeah. there's no actual emotional maturity there,
well,
or kindness or anything.
Well, that is a difference. The fact that most scientists do their work at an earlier age, as opposed to artists, some of whom do it at an earlier age, but a lot who kind of mature as time goes by, I think that is a big difference. You know, people are people. I think there are emotionally immature artists who are great and emotionally immature artists who are bad, and you could say the same thing about scientists or managing directors of the complex.
Yeah, absolutely.
To personalize this particular conversation.
Yes, or maybe even people who do radio programs. But
well, let's talk about Santa Fe Complex. What are the actual projects? And it's a brand new thing, and so it's coming together each day, and it's sort of evolving, to use a science term.
Emerging. Would be the word we'd want to use.
Okay.
Yes.
What are some of the actual projects that you're doing?
Well, I can mention a couple, but I'd like to offer you a preamble first, which is that if you do believe in emergence as a philosophy, and if you do believe in bottom-up, putting things together from the lowest levels and building blocks and making them bigger and bigger, whether it's art or science, then you have to let go of some preconceptions about how things should be, and just be willing to go with the flow of who shows up and what happens. And so with that as a caveat, by that I mean, I can't determine what's going to happen there any more than Orlando can determine in advance what's going to happen in one of his paintings. It grows as he works with it. I think that's a fair statement to make.
I'd start out with a general idea, but yes, you're right.
We're doing a lot of work right now, particularly in the educational area and with interns. Education is a key component of our mission. We very much want to work with the high schools and junior college and College of Santa Fe and Santa Fe Community College. We believe very much in hands-on work, in intern work, as opposed to classroom work. And so we've got some interns who have done things like model in three dimensions the Santa Fe ski area and use that for projects.
Now, when you say model in three dimensions, you're not talking about a piece of paper mache on a piece of plywood.
No, we aren't. What we're actually talking about is something we call a sand table, which is a box filled with sand that can be
sculpted. So it's a bunch of sand on a piece of plywood.
That's right. And we all like to play in sandboxes. You know, we've always enjoyed sandboxes from the earliest ages. In this case, a projector is used. We use a projector to beam down onto the sand and record levels of the sand to create a topography. And that's what the kids are doing, is writing the software to be able to read the sand and model, see whether or not they are modeling correctly the actual physical dimensions of the ski basin, and then shadow it. Make it look just like a topographical map with shadows and sunshine, and you can change the sun to the position of the sun during the course of the day.
So what's the purpose of that?
Well, the purpose, the short-term purpose, is for them to learn how to do this, because that's a career or an interest for either in either one of those two cases. The more practical, applicable purpose is things like fire rescue or different types of emergency management. If you know, for an example, what the topography of the terrain is, you know the rules by which fires operate, which is they go uphill, the wind pushes them, etc., then you can actually model a fire, you can model the emergency response to it, you can have on the computer vehicles, people, resources, and see what happens if you set a counterflame, a backflame, whatever they call it in the fire business, at this location as opposed to that location with the wind blowing from the northeast at 40 miles an hour. So all of that is variable, and all of that is eminently practical and practicable for those planners.
Now, you are bringing complexity or chaos theory into the kind of calculations that you use to make a model of the ski area. How is that different from the modeling that went before?
Modeling that went before is predominantly static, and that's what, really the reason I made that comment earlier about bottom-up. If you, in older types of modeling, you would decide from the top end what something is supposed to look like, and you'd write a computer program to create that result. This type of modeling says, all I know are the variables. All I know are the agents, the things that are going to act in one way or another in the model. I'm going to tell them to go do things and see what happens. Peter Jackson, I've been told by a screenwriter, found out that in reviewing one of his scenes in one of the Lord of the Rings movies, that a whole bunch of orcs broke off from the back of an army and ran away. They made that decision independently based upon the rules in the computer programs that generated the battle scenes.
Very interesting.
And so that's bottom up. That's letting the individual components of a scenario, of a model, of a whatever, do something and interact with each other.
I think that's also creativity. That's an artist starting with some parameters but not really knowing what the finished art object is going to look like. I think that is Einstein thinking about light and time and space in its disparate parts and then coming up with relativity. So that's kind of a non-science way of looking at it, but those are the relationships that I make.
What kind of work are you going to actually be displaying at this opening, Orlando Leibovitz?
I'll be displaying some of the musical paintings and some keyboard paintings, which are piano keyboards that are abstracted down to their geometric essence, and with a lot of color added. Because I think if you're talking about painting and music, you're talking about sound and light. And so really a lot of what these paintings are about is sound and light and whatever personal relationships I'm creating between them, and possibly if there are other relationships that exist beyond me as an artist, trying to kind of see what they are.
Don Begley, there's a number of other artists as well.
There are. We're really blessed in this neighborhood. There's something called the Santa Fe Approach to Complexity on the science side, which is world-renowned as a way of doing modeling and
meaning
science.
Do it tomorrow?
Well, yeah, sometimes it feels like that, especially when you're opening on Saturday. We also have a lot of very gifted artists. Locally, we have Orlando, we have Woody Vasulka, who's going to be there. Woody has been in the digital art field all of his career, from back into the 1960s. out of Albuquerque, a younger person named Jared Tarbell is coming up. Jared is on the road right now at different conferences talking about digital art. He calls himself a solar-powered bipedal brain tower, whatever that means. But Jared does some beautiful, wonderful work, and his work is all open source. You can go to his website and download the code and make your own paintings using what he has there. A couple other quick names to mention. We're really going to be fortunate to have Paul Pariski, who does a lot of photography from his interest as a naturalist and environmentalist working with the United Nations. He created national parks in Haiti, for an example. And
David Stout
and Corey Metcalf from the College of Santa Fe. David is on our board, incidentally, and one of the prime movers behind what we're trying to do. They have a group they call Noisefold. And Noisefold will close out the evening. We have basically an open house from 4 until 6:30. At 6:30, we'll have a couple of presentations about what we are, what we do. And then David and Corey, as Noisefold, will close the evening out. They do something that I don't know how to explain. It's a totally interactive, on their part, digital and audio presentation that if you sit there and you watch it, you are going to be in for a roller coaster ride.
Don Begley is Managing Director of Santa Fe Complex. Orlando Leibovitz is an artist. We will see you on Saturday night.
Thank you very much.
See you there.